this chromometria. So anyway, today, did I start the recording? Oh yeah, okay, well, the recording's going, so, and then we'll talk afterwards. So today, we're gonna talk about memory. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm a little disconfused. I don't know, but yesterday was a tough day, I'll self-disclose. My best friend passed away, and yesterday was the funeral, and I gave the eulogy, and toughest talk I ever gave. So I'll just leave it at that. So I'm still a little bit discombobulated. But Success Saturdays, we're going to keep doing this. I think the next one, like I said, I'm going to start a series called Inner Power, kind of like what I did with the butterfly experiment when we got into that last 8 or 10 weeks of it. So, and I don't hide the fact I'm going to use it to turn it into a book, right? Do some, you know, these short 30, 45 minute presentations, and then stop the recording. We talk about it, stuff like that. And then transcribe that into to get a book. But it's going to be called Inner Power. And I've got an idea for it. So that's what we're going to do. But today, kind of as a link, we're just going to talk about memory. And as always, whenever you do these, note to self, myself, and others, because I always forget this, is always put your contact info up when you're doing any kind of recording. Because if you post it up on YouTube later, and maybe Twitter or Instagram, wherever you put it, this may be the only chance someone gets to grab your information. So it's a note to self to always remind me. And as always, the only easy day was yesterday, right? And if yesterday was an easy day, I don't want to have too many more of those. But let's get started, right? Typo already. The prep. What can I learn about memory today? That's what. So you can kind of think about this. What am I going to learn about memory? How can I apply this information, this new information, if it's new? If you already know it, how can you reapply it? What is my block? What's my coping mechanism that stops you from doing this? And as always, what can I just learn today? How can I grow today? And what can I do different today? What would happen if you could easily increase your memory using how your mind actually works? Is this you? It's me sometimes. Can you remember things from years ago, decades ago maybe, but not where you put your damn car keys, right? Can you remember all this, like, songs, lyrics from high school, but now you can't remember what you went to the grocery store for? Do you ever say, I used to have a good memory, but now it's, the current term is what, CRS, can't remember shit? And sometimes when you forget things, you start thinking, oh my God, I have the first signs of dementia, right? Or whatever it is, right? Do you think you're losing it? Is that you? Well, let's talk, right? It's no secret, most people think they have a weak memory. Most have trouble remembering names, right? Maybe later I'll do I'll do one of our forums on some tricks to remember names maybe. Most freak out over having to give a talk of prepared text because you have to remember it, right? And most people admire actors' ability to remember their lines. You know, as an actor, I don't know if Albert's going to jump on the call, but as an actor, it's always funny when, especially when I'm in a play, someone will walk up and they don't comment on your performance, or if it was a musical, the song, they go, how do you remember those lines, right? Or, oh, I'm so, so like awed that you can remember those lines. Right, which is kind of interesting as an actor. It's kind of a backhanded compliment. But most people admire that, right? And again, even actors will say, why can I remember 2 hours of dialogue in a play? And they'll do the same thing, forget what they went to the grocery store for, right? And most people link memory with intelligence. And here's a big one. Then people start to use, you know, their CSR, if you will, the whole idea of can't remember crap. There's Albert. Yep, he's on. Yeah, I'll bring him on later, talk about actors. But they use their can't remember crap kind of as an honor. Oh, it's funny. They make a joke out of it, you know. And, you know, as my dear friend, in my mind, he's a dear friend, even though obviously I never met him, would be like Bruce Lee. And he always talked about never make fun of yourself, never degrade yourself, never talk bad about yourself, because he goes, every word you say, you're casting a spell. It's why they call it spelling, right? And so if you say this constantly, your mind will go, yeah, okay, can't remember shit, you know? Right? But then actually, that's kind of an interesting way to use words, because I'm pretty sure you can remember how to crap. Your body will eventually take over. So here's what's usually tried when it comes to memory. Rote memory, where you repeat, you know. And, you know, to be honest with you, when people are impressed with actors, that's basically one of the things we have to do. Oh, someone asked, what's CRS? Can't remember shit. That's what they call it, CRS, right? Maybe they use cue cards. And, you know, maybe you do rote memory and then put it on cue cards. There's a bunch of stuff we could get into later. Listening to info on memory, which may or may not be correct, because some of the things we think about memory aren't really true. I do know when you really study memory, one of the things you get very amused with is when you talk about hypnotists, talk about the initial sensitizing event, you know, that a memory is pure and there is no such thing as a pure memory. But anyway, and then there's some newer techniques, but most of us, they're not that new. They, you know, we're actually being overwhelmed with information, and we're starting to, hand over a lot of our memory aspects to like our cell phones and notes and things we can do on the run, which is not a bad thing. And we're just around the corner from when they're going to start implanting chips in your head. So if you want a memory upgrade, it'll be like, well, my computer needs an upgrade. You know, have you ever added memory to your computer, right? Would it be nice to be able to do that to ourselves, right? Of course, we could go into all the negatives of that, but it would be kind of interesting. So why it didn't work? Sometimes, unless it's done right, the rote and repetition method increases stress. Stress, cortisol, destroys memory. When you're under stress, you can't remember, you know, then it becomes counterproductive. You know, and some of these old methods are not based on neurology, right? And then, of course, we beat ourselves up over it. We're not aware of physical memory destroyers, the things that actually physically destroy your memory. Tryptophan, right, slows your memory down. So if you have a glass of milk and a turkey sandwich where you're trying to study, it's not going to go well. There are other neuropeptides, if you will, that actually slow your memory down. There's others that pick your memory up. And basically not using methods that work. So what we're gonna do today, we're just gonna talk a little bit about memory, one technique for sure that will change how you think about it, learn what not to do. And of course, if you lower your stress about memory, it gets easier, and start to think about remembering like an actor. And here's one, have you ever heard a song from your youth? One you haven't heard in decades, not the, those of us grew up in the maybe like the late 60s, 70s, whatever. I'm not talking about the songs they play to death as an oldie. You know, I feel sorry for people in their 20s or 30s that think the only music we had in the 60s was the Beatles and the Stones and the Temptations, right? And I'll be a heretic here. I am not a Beatles fan. I never was a Beatles fan, right? But anyway, because the way the radio, you begin to think that's all the music. But those of us that grew up in that era, when you hear a song literally you haven't listened to in decades, right? If that happened to you, do you suddenly start remembering things you forgot that you remembered, right? Right now I have a Sirius Radio in my car, and on the 70s station, not to date myself, but on the 70s station, they're doing 700 of the biggest hits from the 1970s. And so they're playing songs literally that they never play. And so one was playing the other day, when I went to do something, and I'm like, I had an instant memory regression, an instant regression for all those hypnotists. I was back, you know, I think it was going to my junior or senior year in high school, driving around with my two best friends at the time. I played football with one, and the other guy lived in another area, but we were friends, and we spent hours driving around Calumet City, Illinois, trying to buy beer, We couldn't buy beer. Usually we could score beer so easy. This night it was physically impossible, it seemed like. Everywhere we went, it didn't work, right? And there was one song that they played a lot that night, right? And it, when it came on the radio, it's like I could remember it. I could remember the kind of car my friend had. I haven't thought about that in decades, you know? And driving around that night, you know, it was a hot summer night. And there were some cues with it. It was about this time of year, because it was, my one friend and I were, you know, in football camp, but it was a weekend, so we didn't have football practice. But still, it's hot. We're driving around the car. The windows were down because those cars didn't have air conditioning. And I was in my truck. The windows were down. It's hot out, you know. So it was all those, it just, boom, instant regression, you know. And so that, you do have a memory, you know. It's just sometimes we don't use it, right? But here's a trick. Right? It's called threshold memory. Because has this ever happened to you? Have you ever thought of what you need maybe from the grocery store while you're standing in the kitchen or doing something and thought, I'll remember this. And you go to the store, and when you come home, you remember you bought shit you didn't need except the one thing you thought you needed to go to the store for. Has that ever happened to anybody? Right? Right? Yes. Right? And that's because of the way that your memory actually works. Right? An actor story, which is, I was in a play and called Don't Dress for Dinner. It's a farce. So if you're into theater, it's very fast paced. It's da 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 da. It was a French farce translated. But anyway, I was one of the leads and it was I love the show. It's funny, it's fast, everything. So anyway, it was, I don't know, 10, 12 years later, something like that. One of the theater groups was doing that show. And they asked me if I wanted to direct it since I'd been in it. I said, I'd love to direct it, right? And I'd already done it. And I did one of the leads. There were two male leads. Didn't really want to do the other part. So I'm like, yeah, sure, I'd love to direct. Plus they pay you a lot of money when you direct. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do this. And so I'm having a blast. And what began to happen, there's two things that point out memory. One is, yes, I'd done the play years ago, so I knew my character's lines, and you kind of know the other character's lines. But as you're directing the show, and they're up there doing the stuff and all that, which is irrelevant, but when the actors are what they call off book, so they're trying to remember their lines, and they're asking for a line, they go, line, and people do it. It's not unusual, especially in theater, and even in film sometimes, where if the actor's rehearsing and they yell line, that sometimes the director will know the line, whether it's his line or her line or this line or that line. It's like they know the whole show, right? And sometimes they'll give the line even before like the stage manager in stage or the AD in theater or in film before they give the line. And so, you know, so people assume you know the show. Well, first of all, it's a different context. There's no pressure. It's just, you're just kind of loose and you're having fun. But anyway, in this, what happened was about 2 weeks before we were supposed to open, the guy that was playing the one lead, the part I had done about 12 years before, you could say he quit, you could say he got fired, there was a lot of stuff going on, he was removed from the show. And so now we're scrambling around with about 2 weeks to go before we opened, and it was like a community-ish regional theater kind of thing. So one, like we were rehearsing 8 hours a day, like in Equity, a professional show. So we're rehearsing, you know, 3-4 hours a night, 5 days a week. But we had 2 weeks before we actually had an audience. So everybody's panicking. And so I reached out to a lot of the actors I know and asked, would you like to do the part? Nobody wanted to do the part because of the short time frame. And I said, it's okay, man. Even if you still have to, you know, go on, I'm serious. Here's a monologue. Here's a play I'm working on, a monologue from it. I said, we don't care if you, when we first open, because it was going to be a 6-week run, that you have your script in front of you for the first few times, right, while you're learning the line. Nobody wanted to do the part for that reason. And a couple of the other really good actors were busy doing other things, as Albert can tell you. So I'm like, God damn, what are we going to do? So I ended up getting drafted to do the part. And my biggest fear about doing it was was the what I'm going to say next, which is I was afraid everybody would think I set it up and fired the guy so I could step in at the last moment and do it and get double pay as a director and as an actor, right? And honestly, it wasn't it, but I'm like, okay, I'll do the part. And, you know, so we had a couple rehearsals. And everybody's like, oh, it'll be easy for you. First of all, you direct the show, so you kind of know the play, and you've done the play. And I'm like, damn, no, But I'll tell you what happened. They finally finished building the set, and we moved into the theater. And the moment I walked on the set, which was pretty much set up the way, because the way the show is, there's only a certain way to build the set. It was almost like the exact set that we'd used 10 years, 12 years before that, the one I'd been in. And the moment that happened and I crossed the threshold, it came back. Right now I'm working with totally different actors and actresses and stage man, everything was different. But the moment that the lights came on, the set was about the same. It's like it just, it was there. You know, it's kind of like how the other night when I listened to that song, I could think about, you know, Gary, Randy driving around his little Ford Fairlane, you know, Calumet City, Illinois, trying to score a beer, right? So anyway, and it's not unusual to hear that. And it's also not unusual, as I'll bring Albert on in a moment, to hear an actor, once he walks out of a play or a film, you don't remember any of the lines. People come up and say, oh, remember that show you did? No, it's like, it's gone. Why would I remember it, right? And a lot of this has to do with what I call threshold memory. And what that has to do with, there's been a lot of research that, like, you're in one room and you're thinking about, like, you're in the bathroom, in my case, you're shaving, or whatever, and you're thinking, oh, I got to do this, like something in the kitchen. And you really remember it. But as soon as you cross through the threshold of the bathroom or the bedroom, it, like, disappears from your mind. And you'll walk in the kitchen and you can't remember what the hell you're there for. And then you walk back in the bathroom and you go, damn, I remember that, right? And just has to do with the way your mind actually works, especially as an adult. Your mind categorizes things very quickly, right? And it's just called threshold memory. Once you cross the threshold of wherever you remembered it, it disappears, right? And so a tip that we can use is let's use the thing of the example of going to the grocery store and you're thinking, I gotta get eggs, whatever it is you gotta buy. Do you usually go to the same store? A lot of us do. And you kind of know the layout of the store. And we could go into why they keep changing the layout sometimes in stores. But when you know the layout of the store, let's say you're standing in the kitchen and you think, I need eggs and whatever, bread, and you could think about it. Rather than just think the thought, if you could take a quick moment and think about where is that in the store? In the store I go to a lot, they moved it now. It's in somewhere else. I have to think, no, it's not where it used to be. Now it's over in the corner. I could picture it being in the corner. And then I can imagine placing it in the cart, right? Either the cart or the back, whatever you shop. I could imagine that, right? If you do that and you vividly imagine it, right? And you feel a positive emotion for remembering it, it ups your memory. Somebody that kind of sort of tested it said it ups the memory about 75%, right? Unless you walk in the store and they've changed the whole of the goddamn place like they have a tendency to do. And the reason they do that is then you walk around the store trying to remember what it was you needed, right? And, but if you picture it before you go there, just like if you're in the bathroom doing your makeup or shaving, whatever you're doing, and you think, oh, I need to do this in the kitchen, whatever it is, if you stop and think about walking in the kitchen, let's say check something in the fridge, open the fridge, and actually picture it in your mind doing it, your mind is going to remember it at a much higher efficacy rate than not, because you're placing it in the right threshold, right? And again, I can relate it to acting. I relate a lot of things to acting. Like a lot of actors do better with their lines when they know their movements. When I know my blocking, I can remember my lines better, right? And so it's just, and this is a tip. So whatever you're doing, if you can, because if you're thinking of it sort of out of context, your mind is much less likely to remember it, especially since like things that you're trying to remember, like for the store or errands you got to do, are not highly charged emotional events. Highly charged emotional events, you'll remember. A lot of us can remember where we were on September 11th, 2001. At 8 o'clock Eastern time, right? Because that's when September 11th happened, right? We can remember it. Highly charged emotional event. Your brain will sort that. But if there's not a highly charged emotional event, it positive, negative, doesn't matter. It's not as easily remembered. Like my little story of driving around with my friends, that song triggered it. Why didn't I think about that any other time? I spent countless summers, going into my junior year and then before my senior year in high school, driving around with my friends, trying to either, you know, find girls or get beer. That was our big mission in life in high school. I wasn't very academically motivated in high school, right? But it was like over and over again, you know, it's like, things that you do at work, if you have a pretty routine job, even exciting jobs can have some routine to them. You don't remember the routine events, right? It's just the way your mind works. So, and it's kind of like you need to use how your memory actually works, you know? And like I said, if you think about threshold memory, think about where you have to do the activity you want to remember and picture it, right? If you do that, it helps bring up the memories get encoded a little deeper, because then when you step into that threshold, that room, that place, it's gonna flow even easier, right? Secondly, is use some kind of emotion. You know, humor works well. It doesn't have to be positive, but any strong emotion, you know, anger, fear, resentment, love, those things work, but so does humor, right? But anything to actually cue up the emotional aspect of it helps you remember it, you know? And again, another acting thing, it's not unusual that like an actor doing a movie or a play, there's a highly charged emotional scene, you can remember that scene quicker than the rest of the play, right? Like I did the play A Few Good Men, which was before the movie, but I could remember those real tense moments more than, it took me a long time to get the one where they're just sitting around talking, right? It's just dialogue where you're talking, but those highly charged, it wasn't in the original play, you know, about you can't handle the truth, son, we live in a world that has walls. That one is highly emotional. I picked up easily because I put myself in a highly charged state and the lines came quicker, right? So basically what you need to do in four steps is learn the truth about memory, learn techniques that actually work, which is what we're doing, like threshold memory, adding emotion, adding creative visualization to your memory, and there's a few other things. Lower your stress about memory, right? Lower your stress. And start telling yourself you can remember like an actor, you know? You can remember like an actor, right? So try the threshold technique, you know, have some fun with it, right? And when it works, reward your memory. So if you remember the things you went to the store for and you just practice the threshold techniques, you know, the eggs are in the back, the milk's over here, and then I'm gonna go get the dog food, which is now over there. And then when you remember that, like, ooh, treat yourself, right? Give yourself a pat on the back, you know, reward your memory. Because as Bruce Lee said, don't talk bad about it, right? Don't talk bad about it. And, you know, it's embrace it, right? So that's just a little thing I wanted to talk to about memory. I used to have a memory class, what do I want to call it? Because usually I train people, right? Everybody knows that. But this was not like how to train you to go train memory. It was just a memory class. I may bring that back and update it and put it out there for people, you know? Because again, I read, and if somebody knows the the actual data, I would be greatly appreciative of it. But of how much information you get compared to like your great, great, great grandparents. You know, one I heard is you get more information in a month than your great, great, great grandparents got in a lifetime. Right? And it never ends. The news cycle, Facebook, Twitter, you're connected at the hip to your phone. It never ends. Your brain was not built for that. Right? And so there's a lag going on with us trying to adapt to it. Right? Just like there's a whole lot of current research that you really can't multitask. If you're blessed, you have a quick brain that can flip between tasks very quickly, but you can't run dual, you know, you don't have dual processors in your brain, right? You're flipping back and forth, except for the few things that become so rote, like driving a car that operates just, I like the term, I forget the guy that uses the term, pre-conscious. It's not quite conscious, but it's not real subconscious, like driving your car. You know, if you're driving up and then the light switches, then you'll drop into your consciousness, right? Have you ever had that happen where you go, do I hit my brakes or do I hit my gas? Right? And you do a quick calculation and I always hit my gas, but other people hit their brakes, whatever. But you drop into consciousness. And then once you're back, as soon as you're through the light, you're probably back to do doing whatever you were doing, right? That's just how your brain works. So I think they're really studying that, right? And like I said, I read they're trying to figure out if we'll be able to implant chips in our head to, you know, let's add another 500 megabyte of memory, you know, or whatever it is. So that'd be kind of interesting. So anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about memory because as a placeholder while I figure out my next Saturday success series. So I'm going to stop the recording and then we're just going to share if it's okay, because it was a quick class.